So you're a tough guy, like you really rough guy. Just can't get enough guy, just always so puff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type. Make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy.
Duh.
Chapter 39. It was late March, a couple of weeks after the conference with Tim and Dick in Jason's apartment, when Batman finally showed his face. He knew it was only a matter of time before Bruce decided to show up in person, but the crafty bastard watched and waited, eventually showing up where Jason couldn't even fight him for it. He was at the orphanage, checking on the kids. He'd already been by the warehouse to make sure everyone was in for the night, and wanted to check in on the orphanage before he started his patrol. He'd worked out a pretty good system with them over the last couple of weeks. If there was something they needed to talk to him about that night, they'd put a post-it note on their window, so they could be sure Red Hood would drop by. Lisa didn't bother with the post-it. She got almost nightly visits without them. He checked in with Alex almost every night as well, since he was playing big brother to pretty much everyone there. He gave Jason reports on how everyone was doing and if anyone was having any problems. As such, he always stopped at Alex's room first. "Hey," Jason greeted as he slid Alex and Jacob's window open. They shared a room and were getting along pretty well so far. "How's it going?" Jacob answered immediately. "School, school, and more school," he complained grumpily from the twin bed he was sprawled out on. There was a textbook, open but ignored, by his feet. Alex was in an identical bed across from him, hunched over and frowning at a math book. "What he said?" Jason smirked, amused. "Not the dream life you'd thought it'd be?" "We do school all the time," Jacob complained. "We're gonna have to do it all summer."
"Not all summer. We get a week vacation," Alex replied, sounding just as grumpy about it as his roommate.
"They're trying to catch you back up to your age groups before you go back to school in the fall."
"It's gonna be over a year before we get a real summer break," Jacob protested.
Jason grinned, intensely amused.
"Tragic."
"You're not nice," Jacob scowled at him.
"Never claimed to be," Jason replied, still grinning.
If this was the extent of these kids' problems for the next few years, then he could sleep easy at night. It was much better than them being out on the street, in any case.
"You're not the one having to do all the school," Alex retorted.
"Nah, but I guarantee the Robin training I had to do was 100 times worse," Jason replied.
Both boys scowled.
"Yeah, but that's fun," Alex protested.
"You got to beat the shit out of people,"
Jacob agreed fervently.
Jason shrugged. "True, but I also had to catch up on school. You guys only have to do the school. Now suck it up and quit whining."
They scowled, and Jason took a moment to laugh in their faces before he got down to business.
"So, no post-its on any windows. Everyone good?"
"Yeah, everyone's good. Although, there's a new kid who just moved in from one of the group homes that had too many kids. And he was being mean to Lisa. She told him off, but he's a punk. We all told him he was being a dumbass because you're the Red Hood and she's your favorite. But the idiot didn't believe us. You might want to give him fair warning or something before he does something really stupid."
Jacob was grinning.
"Preferably where we can watch. His name is Matt and he's 3 windows down that way," he said, pointing to the left.
Jason's eyes narrowed.
"I'll handle it."
Jacob and Alex looked at each other for a moment before both jumped out of bed and darted out of the door, no doubt running to the doomed kid's door. Jason moved back out of the window, sliding it closed behind him. He was going to make them wait. He wanted the story from Lisa first. The girls were on the floor above the boys, and it was quick work to scale up and over to Lisa's window. He knocked on the glass and waited for her to run over and throw back the curtain before he slid the window open.
Evening, Carrot Top.
Hood! She greeted, throwing herself at him as soon as he stepped into the room.
Jason laughed and ruffled her clean strawberry hair fondly before greeting Lisa's roommate. Miranda was a 7-year-old who never lived on the streets. She was sent directly to the orphanage after her mother committed suicide. Her father had run off a year before, and no one knew where he was. Miranda was a nice kid, fond of Lisa, but she was still adjusting. No 7-year-old should have to deal with their mother's suicide. But he and Tim had already picked the best child counselors to work at the orphanage, so Miranda was getting help. Lisa was also seeing one of the counselors to talk about both the abuse she grew up with and her abduction. It, combined with the safety she felt being at the orphanage, was doing wonders. She was shaping up to be quite the bright, happy, and chatty kid. Jason was loving every moment of it.
"I got brownies," Jason said, pulling the carefully bagged brownies out of his pocket.
"Yes!"
Lisa grinned, making grabby hands at them. He let her take them and pass one to Miranda, who smiled at the treat. She didn't say much, but she'd stopped looking nervous whenever Jason turned up. He was glad. The last thing he wanted to do was traumatize a grieving kid. Lisa bounced around the room, telling him all about her day through a mouthful of brownie. Jason couldn't help but grin as he sat on the windowsill, listening to Lisa talk about her schoolwork and her teacher. She was clean, fed, wearing warm pajamas that were bought for her, and there were slippers on her little feet. Just like that, just looking at her, Jason knew that all the crap that came with being back in Gotham, all the bad parts with Bruce, hell, even Bruce getting his memories, it was all worth it in the face of warm kids with beds to sleep in, food to eat, things to learn, and the chance to get out of Crime Alley ahead of them. Now he just needed to get the rest of the kids here. The tale of Lisa's day took an abrupt turn to include Matt, reminding Jason of his mission.
"Then he didn't believe me when I said you were my best friend and would make him stop being mean to me. Even when Alex and everyone else said so, too. He said they were all lying to him, and he called me stupid."
She finished, with a little scowl on her face.
"You want me to prove him wrong, Lissy Beth?"
Jason asked, grinning wide, because he knew the nickname would annoy her. He'd found out in his evidence gathering that Lisa was short for Elizabeth, and he'd been teasing her about it since she decided she was no longer mad at him. He needed to make up for lost time. Lisa huffed at him, hands on her hips.
"I told you not to call me that."
"You sure did, but I think I like it, Carrot Top," Jason retorted. "Now, let's go tell this kid who's boss, huh? You want to take the windows?"
Lisa's eyes flew wide. "Really?"
"As long as you hold on tight."
He slipped his helmet back on. He needed to be wearing it if he really wanted to scare the pants off the kid. Lisa squeaked and darted towards him. Jason moved into the room, got her situated on his back, and moved back out of the window.
"We'll be right back, Mandy," he assured the other little girl.
Miranda nodded and watched from the window as he moved down a floor and started making his way over to Matt's window with Lisa on his back. All the while, the little girl chattered in his ear, with Jason commenting at the appropriate moments, prodding her to continue her story, teasing her as he went. He knocked when he reached Matt's window. Jose pulled the curtains open and immediately turned to the new kid with a grin.
"Oh, you're in for it now. We told you, dude."
Alex and Jacob were snickering from the open door. Matt stared, eyes wide and horrified, as Jason slipped the window open and stepped into the room.
"Holy shit,"
he breathed, horrified. "You," Jason barked, enjoying how menacing it sounded through his helmet.
"I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry,"
the kid shouted immediately, pale and shaky.
"I thought they were lying."
Lisa giggled as she watched over his shoulder, and Jason grinned wide under his helmet. Then he got back to business.
"They weren't, and I'm not the one you should be apologizing to."
Matt looked at Lisa and immediately begged forgiveness.
I'm sorry. I swear I won't be mean to you ever again. Please don't let him kill me.
Jose was smirking, and Alex and Jacob hadn't stopped snickering. Jason could tell Lisa was about to forgive him, so he held up a hand.
Wait a second, princess, he said, before turning his attention back to Matt. How are you going to make it up to her?
Matt stammered for a moment before an idea struck. I'll give you my pudding cups for the next week, he swore to Lisa.
Jason turned his head a little towards the girl.
That's a pretty good deal there, Carrot Top. What do you think?
I like pudding, she said seriously.
I know you do, Jason replied fondly. That's a deal then?
She nodded decisively, looking back at Matt.
Okay, I forgive you.
Matt sagged in relief.
You better honor the deal, kid, Jason warned, making him stiffen once more. I come and check on Lisa every night, so she'll tell me if you're mean to her again. And I don't do second chances.
I'll be nice, I swear,
the kid declared fervently.
Good. Then it's bedtime for you, princess, he said, stepping back towards the window. You punks too, he told the boys,
before moving back out of the room. He began to climb back up.
Pudding!
Lisa declared fervently as they reached her window.
You're living the high life, Jason agreed,
before he carefully moved her into the room. She pushed up on her toes and hugged him tight around the chest. He ruffled her hair.
Nighty-night, Lissybeth.
Lisa jerked away immediately and scowled.
I told you not to call me that!
When Jason just laughed at her, she gave a harumph and jerked the curtains closed in his face. He slid the window shut, still chuckling. He turned to shoot a line and grapple to the roof of the building, across the narrow street, and jerked when he saw an all-too-familiar shadow. Batman was waiting for him. For a moment, Jason considered turning tail and running in the opposite direction, but he abruptly decided against it. If Bruce wanted something, he wouldn't quit. And if he wanted the man to leave him the hell alone, then he was going to have to get that through Bruce's thick skull. He grappled to the roof, landing a few feet away from Batman. Jason felt his attention on the gloves he was wearing, the ones that'd been a gift. He clenched his hands into fists and shoved them into his jacket pockets. Bruce didn't mention them.
That right there is what made you such a good Robin, he said instead,
nodding to the orphanage across the street. It was Bruce talking, not Batman. Even so, it was not what Jason expected him to say, and it threw him for a loop. He rallied quickly, though.
Was I a good Robin? I mean, your damn plaque said a good soldier. But I was also a cautionary tale you told the others. Don't be like Jason. Don't be the bad Robin or you'll end up dead.
He spoke, voice cold.
You're kind of sending mixed signals here, B.
Bruce grimaced under the cowl.
It wasn't.
He paused, and Jason glared through his helmet as the man gathered his thoughts.
I didn't understand.
He finally decided, and Jason could see how much he was struggling with the words, even wearing the cowl. It didn't make Jason feel any more sympathy for him.
You and Dick both disobeyed orders all the time. Sometimes it got you hurt. Sometimes you saved the day. Sometimes obeying orders was what got you hurt, but disobeying orders was basically standard Robin procedure,
Bruce said, and Jason knew it was true. He disobeyed Bruce in the field many times as Robin, and he knew Dick had done the same. That's what being a partner meant. Bruce was an idiot sometimes, and as Robins, it was their job to have his back when he was being dumb, orders or no orders.
I didn't understand,
he said again, voice and body full of tension. His gaze was intense through the cowl, and Jason felt unable to bear the weight of it. He turned back to the orphanage, found Lisa's window, and stared at it instead.
I didn't know what Sheila did. I thought you had disobeyed orders again, and that this time you'd gotten killed for it. And when I lost you, it broke me.
Jason jerked his gaze back to Bruce in surprise, unprepared for his words,
and the amount of emotion laced through them. It broke me, and I couldn't do it again. When Tim took up the cape and became Robin, it terrified me. The possibility that what happened to you would happen to him, and to Stephanie and Damien. So I made you a cautionary tale, and I'm sorry, you didn't deserve that. It wasn't fair to you or your memory. Nothing I've done has been fair to you, he admitted, guilt heavy in his tone. Jason took in a shaky breath and clenched his eyes shut, glad Bruce couldn't see his face under the helmet. On the one hand, it was like being washed clean. It was confirmation that his death hadn't been his fault, that he hadn't been the failure Robin, the bad Robin, that he hadn't been a total irredeemable screw-up. On the other hand, he knew the price of Bruce's sudden understanding, and it came at the cost of his memories, of his privacy, of rights that had been violated. It was too much emotion. Jason didn't know what to feel, and he was losing the tenuous control he had over himself. He couldn't do it. This was way too much, and he couldn't handle it right now. Not with Bruce standing there in full Batman regalia, muscles tense, voice rough with emotion. He was unprepared. "I don't want to talk about this," he ground out, turning and stalking towards the other side of the roof so he could shoot a line and get the hell out of Dodge. Get the hell away from Bruce. "I'm sorry," Bruce spoke up thickly, and Jason stopped without meaning to. He moved closer so he could speak quietly, and Jason, for whatever reason, didn't move away. He just stood there, frozen, his back to the man who'd once been a father to him. "About the plaque," Bruce continued. "I couldn't bear your loss, but I also couldn't let it go, so I tried to compartmentalize to make it easier on myself. You deserve better, though. I'm also sorry about your memories, that I didn't ask or even think to give you a choice in the matter. But I'm not sorry. I know now I was wrong about everything. I wasn't there for you when you needed me to be. I'm sorry for so many things. But I'm also proud of you, Jason." He spoke, quiet, so that they couldn't be overheard, but fierce. Jason's chest seized, breath freezing in his lungs, heart pounding so hard it was almost deafening. Bruce had said he was... "I'm so proud," Bruce said again, and Jason couldn't even breathe. "Because despite all the ways I failed you, despite everything you've been through, here you are today, saving lives and doing good. I know we don't agree on every single thing, but you're good, Jason, and I'm proud of you, even though I lost the right to be a long time ago." Jason was shaking, just a little bit, but enough for Bruce to pick up on. He finally managed a shaky breath, but it wasn't enough. It felt like he wasn't getting enough air. He tried again, taking a deeper, ragged breath, body trembling a little more as he did so. He was a mess of way too many emotions, and they were all going haywire under his skin. "I can't," he began, voice audibly struggling even through the modulator in his helmet. "I can't think. I need to fucking think," he managed, jerking into movement, putting space between them. He couldn't help the glance back at Bruce. "Okay," he nodded, mouth set in a grim line. "If you need anything, you know how to reach me. And if you want to come home, it's there waiting." Jason couldn't stand to hear another word. He launched himself to the next roof and began sprinting his way across rooftops. He didn't stop running for over an hour, pushing himself to his limits, sprinting across rooftops at top speed, making leaps he normally wouldn't, hitting the next roof at a roll before sprinting off just as fast. He had no destination, and he ran blindly, just following the clearest path, even if it turned or doubled back. He didn't care where he ended up. He just ran. He could only maintain such an intense pace for so long, though,
and when he stumbled and hit the concrete of an indiscriminate roof, he let himself roll until he stopped. Raising shaky arms, he jerked his helmet off, taking deep, gasping breaths as his heart pounded away in his chest. Laid out flat on his back, he stared up at the starless Gotham sky and tried to breathe. Bruce had apologized for the right things, and he told Jason he could come home. He told him he was proud. He'd been waiting years for Bruce to be proud of him. He'd given up on ever hearing them and focused on his anger instead. And then the bastard went and told Jason he was proud when he least expected it and wasn't at all ready. And he couldn't tell how he felt about it. His fury was still there, for sure. Bruce was an ass, and that wasn't likely to change. He'd screwed up in a million ways. He'd blamed him for his death and let Superman and Martian Manhunter violate his memories. He apologized. He told Jason he was good. He said he was proud. Jason gave a wordless shout of frustration, gripping his head as he did so. His eyes caught the gloves, Bruce's gloves, and he glared at them like it was their fault all of this was happening to him. He let his arms drop back to his sides, and he clenched his eyes shut. He was a mess. He was furious. He was desperate. He was just a little bit hopeful. He was way too fucking much of everything, and he couldn't handle it. Reaching in his pocket, he grabbed his cell phone. Roy answered quickly. "Jaybird," he chirped, and Jason could tell he was about to dive into some story, so he cut him off quickly. He apologized. "What?" "Bruce, he apologized. Said he was proud of me and that he was sorry and shit,
Hey, Roy cut in quickly. "Easy, Jaybird. It's okay."
"No, it's not fucking okay, Roy. He wants me to come home, and I want to hit him in the face and scream at him and maybe shoot him, and maybe I want to, I..." He sucked in a breath, unable to finish the sentence or even the thought, panic crawling under his skin. There wasn't enough oxygen, or there was too much oxygen. Jason didn't know, but he couldn't fucking breathe.
"Okay, Jaybird, just take it easy. I want you to breathe with me, okay? You know your breathing techniques. Come on, exhale for me."
Jason did, letting Roy talk him through it. "There we go. Inhale, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold, you're all right. 5, 6, 7, good. Exhale nice and slow. Let it all out. 6, 7, 8. There you go. You're okay." He took a few more measured breaths as Roy continued to talk, letting his blood and pounding heart settle a little more.
"It's okay, Jason. You don't have to do anything. He needed to apologize, and it's good that he did. But that doesn't mean you have to do anything, okay? Just because he gave you an apology doesn't mean you have to give him back anything in return. You don't have to worry about it right now. You can take your time to decide what you feel. If you need something else from him, if you want to fix things between you, then you can decide that later. You don't have to do anything right now, though, okay?"
Jason nodded, even though Roy couldn't see it. Roy was right. Just because Bruce apologized, it didn't mean he had to do anything about it. He didn't have to know how he felt. He didn't have to decide anything. He didn't have to change anything.
Yeah, okay. Roy let out a breath, sounding relieved.
Good, Jaybird. It's okay. You don't have to do a thing. Everything's gonna be okay, right? Jason nodded up at the sky, letting out another gusty breath.
Right, everything's fine.
That's right, Roy agreed. Now, where are you, Jaybird? Jason frowned and forced himself up into a sitting position.
Still in Crime Alley, I think. Some rooftop.
He looked around at the buildings, getting his bearings.
Are you hurt?
No, I'm fine. Just tired, he said, grabbing his helmet.
Looks like I'm only a few blocks from my place. Few blocks from the warehouse.
Okay, good. Now go home. You don't need to patrol tonight. Stay on the phone with me. Go home and put on some of your nasty tea. Then we're gonna watch a movie. Pick one you've got, I'll put it on here too, and we'll watch it together, okay?
Jason switched the call to his comm and slipped the helmet back on, pocketing his cell phone. He started towards his apartment.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. I can do that.
Good, Roy said again. I was bored and lonely anyway. Star City's getting boring. Think I could come over and kick around Gotham with you for a while?
Is Corey not with you? Jason asked.
He thought she'd planned on hanging around Star City with Roy.
She was, but she's on the watchtower helping some galactic something or other right now. So what do you say? I'll have to travel the civilian way, but I could be there by tomorrow afternoon. He wheedled.
As long as you don't make me eat any more fucking macaroni and cheese, you can do whatever the hell you want, Jason replied.
Awesome! I'll be in Gotham tomorrow then. Maybe we can give Grayson a little hell, huh?
Jason managed to laugh and was about to reply when he caught sight of the Red Hood mural looming in the distance. He froze and stared, horror slowly filling his chest. At some point in the last few hours, the face of the hood had been painted white, and where his mouth would be under the helmet, there was a large, wide, blood-red smile stretched across the image. Over the whole thing, painted in green, were three large words.
Ha, ha, ha!
Jaybird, you still there? Roy asked, concerned. Jason barely heard him. Fear, fury, and horror washed over him, momentarily paralyzing him. And then he forced it off, swearing viciously and jerking into motion. Jason ran as fast as he could in the direction of the warehouse, trying his best to shove down the panic that was clenching at his lungs. The Joker. He was out. He was in Crime Alley, and he was targeting the Red Hood. If that clown so much as touched one of Jason's kids in the process, he was going to rip his fucking heart right out of his fucking chest. Or at the very least, he was gonna die trying.